I have benefited from our series this month on prayer. And I believe that this is a time for the people of God to grow in prayer. Many of us at times have more time on our hands and more time alone to get with God. Some of us don't and are just as busy as ever. But the intensity and stress of our day does lead us not to, wants to lead us into anxiety, but God wants to lead us into prayer. And we're called in Scripture that Jesus desires his will for us to be a house of prayer. And that's why our Bridge ministry that we're launching, and you saw that letter last week come out to you, that we are launching a new ministry of connecting a few men and connecting a few women a couple of times a month to pray for one another so that you're walking with other people and encouraging each other in prayer. Today, we're going to look at the apostles' prayers, who are the prayers of our fathers. And the apostles, what is that? Those are just the original church leaders that we call this term, the apostles, in the book of Acts, the 12 disciples, or also the 12 apostles. And they were the church leaders who started churches in the known world at that time, coming out of Israel. Today, we often use that term to refer to leadership and overseeing leadership and church planting. What's unique about the apostles' prayers, and they're found in the New Testament, and the ones that are most prevalent are in the letters of the Apostle Paul, is that these are prayers from a spiritual father. These are prayers from someone whose heart has been broken for that community. I mean, imagine this. There's only a few Christians in the whole known world, and you're a Jewish guy named Paul, and you go into a city, and you start telling these people about there is a Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. This has all just happened in Israel and Jerusalem. Let me tell you about it. And he's leading these people to be first-generation Christians, the first time anybody in that town has given their life to Christ. How many hours, how many days of conversations, how many arguments, how many, as you know, if you read in the book of Acts and so forth, that Paul was actually persecuted for this and stoned a couple of times and near-death experiences many times. But the goal was to win one for Jesus and their family member and their friend. And then, so if this group of 10 came to Christ, he won them all. And that was the church of, let's say, Ephesus, and he was there for 2 years. You know, today we have traveling ministers, and they'll come to church for a night or maybe 3 nights. Boy, that's a long time. Well, they didn't travel in and out of churches or towns like that. They would stay for months, maybe even a couple of years. And Paul particularly stayed in Ephesus for 2 years and had this love relationship with these people. But he's their father. He's their spiritual father. He won them to Christ. And then they started winning their family members and friends, and he would hear the stories, and he would be so excited. So that's the heart of where these prayers come from. Now, I want to actually speak to you about the value of these specific prayers. We've talked about the prayers of Jesus for us. We've talked about the God sightings of heaven and looking at who Jesus is and God is on the throne. And we've looked at these different aspects of prayer, but these prayers have a unique function in our life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, just to hear and see it here right out of Scripture. Verses 20 through 22 say this in Ephesians 2, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So you are being built together, this imagery of a building, you're being built together as a dwelling place for God by our Spirit, like a house of prayer. And these things are put together by the Spirit of God, but the foundation is laid by the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. And so I have a question for you. What is your foundation of your life and of your living and how you live? What is the foundation? Well, these apostle prayers, and there's around 20 of them, you run into them, you see them in the letters and so forth, and these will help assure your foundation and how you build on it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to see again the function of the apostle, these type of prayers in our life. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So in Ephesians, he mentions that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone where the foundation. Here in this letter, he says, listen, Jesus is the foundation. In your life, you want the cornerstone. You want your foundation to be Jesus Christ. And you know he's the Word of God. You get that foundation from the Word of God, a relationship with him and how he forms your life, molds your life through the Word of God. Now the question is, how are you and I going to build on that foundation? If you don't have Jesus Christ as a foundation, you might have some good things, some strong convictions, some good morals, but that foundation is not going to be laid flat, angled just perfectly, just right. You need Jesus Christ as your foundation. And then there's also a building on top of that. What type of materials you build, how it's ordered, that how it's put together. This is the imagery in this passage. Let's read on and see what it says in verse 12. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" So this is a huge question and a purpose for your life. Is how I'm going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I might even have a great foundation and a good start, but how are you going to build? These apostles' prayers, and we're going to look at one in particular today, will help you do that, because it will determine, are these materials in this fashion in a way that when the day of judgment comes, and I don't know how all this looks, but there's some purifying fire that will purify our work, our building. And if we've built our life on the foundation and with these things that last through fire, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, that's not literal things like this. This is a spiritual image of this fire of God purifying us. And only those things that last for eternity and are purified by fire in the natural realm, gold, silver, and precious stones are purified by fire, then we will take those things with us to heaven. We get to take some things with us from heaven, some eternal things that we have chosen to build our life on. So I ask you another question. What are you building on top of your foundation? And these prayers are important because the apostles are builders. And their prayers for you will build your temple to shine through the fires of the purification. So this is the function, this is the purpose, and this is what these church planters were doing, giving them prayers to pray over themselves, over their families, to build their life, because it is a temple to where it will last into eternity. This prayer that we're going to look at is going to be out of Ephesians. And Ephesians is, like I said, one of the kind of treasured letters of Paul. And he loved them so much, had deep relationship with them. And But this was one of the four letters of Paul written while he was in prison in Rome. And so you feel like you've been in prison and quarantined and had to stay upstairs in the bedroom, that kind of thing. Well, Paul really was in a prison for years in Rome. And so he did have time to write letters, but to time for prayer. And so these prayers that we read about are, he's not just a writer, he's a prayer warrior for all these new believers and these that he's planted in all these churches. And when he left a city and a town, he would appoint and set up elders to be spiritual leaders, protectors, and under shepherds, shepherds for that flock. Because he just poured his whole heart, maybe risking his life more than once for those people to come to Christ. He didn't want them to be attacked or be misled. And so he put leaders called elders in each one of those communities. And so what we read, and these prayers to read, are ones that he has prayed for days, weeks, months for those believers. These are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and God honed these prayers to be just what we need as believers, building our life on the foundation. So let's go to this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 from the spiritual father. And I'm going to read verses 15 through 18 and spend some time on just verse 18. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the Lord God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Stop just for a sec. I think it's really kind of interesting that it says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus is God, Paul still, he says, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Father of glory. And so we're going to see, we're going to learn some things about glory today in this prayer. Because that is a word that's hard to grasp, isn't it? You know, glory is that white clouds in heaven. Glory is that smoke from the throne. What is glory? And then so we're going to get some glimpses here of what glory looks like in our lives. That this Father glory, this is verse 17, may give you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. And so there we see the spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit. So we have the Trinity at work here. God, the Son, Jesus, his Father, the Father of glory, and the Holy Spirit imparting wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Folks, we cannot have knowledge of him without the Holy Spirit giving us wisdom and revealing things. That's what revelation is, you know, showing us and it coming to our mind. We can't do it on our own strength. In fact, going into verse 18, the first phrase says this, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Did you realize that? That your inner man, that your heart has eyes. There's this ability to see in this things of the Spirit, things that are deeper, things that are beyond just these lights and ceilings and chairs. We have a deeper part of us, our inner man, our spirit man, that has the ability to be enlightened. To say, oh, wow, that's really cool. The first time that I recognized this was I had been at a weekend college getaway as a senior in college. It was at a Christian university, and at one of those services, they were asking young people to dedicate their life to Jesus Christ. That was the night I did. The next day I didn't do it. I was still had nervousness. I wasn't willing to stand up in front of everybody the next day. I dedicated my heart to Jesus Christ. I put a big D in blue ink so it wouldn't wash away real quick because I wanted to remind myself each day. But when I got home to my bedroom, I took the Bible that had been there for, you know, months or years, I didn't pick up and read it. Open it up, read Matthew chapter 5, which is a very common Sermon on the Mount passage that I would have heard and known about. But when I read it, things were sticking out at me. It was alive. Like, wow, man, that's really cool. Even though I had a head knowledge about that chapter, when I read it that night, after giving my heart to Jesus Christ, dedicating every part of me as best I could as an 18-year-old, the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom and revelation for me for that night. And we even need that today. You can be a believer for 20, 30, 40 years. You know it. You want it. You desire it. Lord, illumine my eyes, my spiritual eyes. May the eyes of my heart see. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening here. This is how we build with these kind of eternal insights on our foundation. The next phrase in verse 18 says this, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know, stop for a sec, that you may know, and this is that Greek word, I used it, it came up in John 17:3. That this is eternal life, the definition of eternal life, that you may know Him, the only true God who you have sent. This knowing is experiential knowing. It's not head knowledge. It is really having a growing a knowledge of interacting like in a relationship. So right here, and there's going to be three things listed in these next couple verses that Paul is praying for us to see with our eyes and for us to know spiritually. These are phrases that we don't use very often in everyday language. And I heard a neat story about this from Mike Bickle. Mike Bickle, I'm leaning heavily in this passage with him. Mike Bickle is out of Kansas City. He's leads a ministry called International House of Prayer. And he said, 41 years ago in 1979, God told me, you are an intercessor, Mike. He didn't know what that was. And he said, start telling me, I'm an intercessor. It has to do with prayer, so I'm scheduling a prayer meeting. He's like, what are we going to pray about when we get there? I don't know. So he found out there's these list of New Testament prayers, and he handwrites them out, makes Xerox copies of them, passed them around, these 20 so prayers to the handful of people in there. He said, I don't know what we're going to pray about, but let's pray these prayers. In Ephesians 1, he says, this is the most often quoted, prayed through prayer in IHOP for these last several decades. And he said, people would ask me, what do these phrases mean in these apostolic prayers that we're reading? I don't know, but they must be good because they're in His Word. So let's just read them. And he said, we just read through these handwritten sheets for weeks, and then God would just start giving us a little bit of insight here and growing in that. Let me tell you, that guy knows how to persevere, I'm telling you. So for 21 years, he just inched along with these prayer meetings until now for 20 years. He's had teams of people who have prayed and worshiped for 24/7, 365. This past year was their 20th anniversary of nonstop prayer for 20 years. Listen, folks, that is impacting the world. And we read in history books a few places like that. And Count Zinzendorf in Europe, he had a 60-year, his people had 60 years of prayer that was nonstop. And if this goes on, this is going to be in the history books of the church world coming out of Kansas City and other places doing the same. So here's the first of these three prayers here. That you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Wow, okay. What is the hope to which He has called you? Yes, and this hope is a confidence you have inside that, yes, you've heard from God, your eyes have been opened, and you have a understanding of your calling. And so that gives you you're building on this foundation. This is part of your house, your calling, your purpose, your assignments for the Lord. Now, he breaks this into two pieces, and I really like this. He says there's an internal and there's an external calling. Number one, internal, is that just you are a faithful follower of Christ. That's a calling. We're called to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. See, that's something from the heart, isn't it? We're called to desire Him and pursue Him in ways that fit your life and personality. We're called to be quick to forgive when there's strife and conflict, and you be that first one to go ask forgiveness. We're called to just be a faithful follower, to have a heart for the lost, to be broken for the neighbor that doesn't know Christ, and to serve them with the love of Christ and share when God opens that door. You're called to just be a faithful follower of Christ. These are the eternal things we take with us to heaven. These are things that are gold, silver, precious stones that will be purified by fire, stand strong, and go into heaven. The list can go on. And it's an eternal calling. And our external calling depends on this going well for you to bear fruit in the external calling. Just thinking about Karen Carpenter. She has faithfully completed a 20-year assignment in financial administration, particularly at Ling Waters. She was an accountant before that in the marketplace. That was an assignment she had before then. And so she brought her faithfulness to the Lord. I mean, if you knew Karen, she was waiting on the Lord all the time. She might have a word of knowledge in a staff meeting or here in the service or a prayer meeting. She might have had dreams the night before, and we're asking God to reveal the revelation of what God was showing her in dreams. So she was a faithful follower of Christ. And then when she did her external calling, this assignment, and these can last from a year or two or 20 or 30 years, right? They change, they flow, and but our internal calling lasts our whole life, doesn't it? And we bear more fruit when we bring that internal calling that we're being faithful in into our external calling. That's very practical, and that's anywhere, that's everywhere, that's in your workplace, that's in the ministry, the church, that's in your neighborhood. Those external callings, your purposes and assignments, you'll hear from the Lord. Unfortunately, sometimes you're going, oh, God, what is your will for my life? What am I supposed to do next? And we kind of get upset. We get frustrated. Where am I supposed to work? What college am I supposed to go to? What am I supposed to do for you in the church? And we get really uptight about these external callings, and we forget what we are called. Let's be a faithful follower of Christ, and he will reveal to you with these eyes of our heart and enlighten these other things. But the eternal, internal one, which is eternal for sure, is going to, it's going to come, it's going to lead you into the external. Like that. I just like the way that's broken down. That just helps me. Does that help you? All right. A second phrase in these verses here. Verse 18. Verse 18 says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So this second one is that we would know and experience what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, again, just another surprise how this is worded. I often, and the scriptures that support this, right, that we are receiving the inheritance that Jesus Christ paid for us. When he died on the cross for our sins, folks, I mean, he did it because we needed him to do that. That was an assignment from his Father that he had to follow and obey. But the reason he did that is he did it because we needed his salvation. And he went through that suffering and pain on the cross, and then he's gone through the resurrection to be the victorious Lord and Savior for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So he is the faithful, obedient bridegroom, victorious over darkness, sickness, and death, can now then purify his bride, his inheritance. So we receive his inheritance and his eternal blessings, but he has an inheritance. And his heavenly Father, this Father of glory, what's glorious is that he is giving us, the church, to his son Jesus as his inheritance. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is excited about you? You are his inheritance. An inheritance has this feeling of you got to wait until the appointed time until you get the inheritance. Well, he's waiting for the appointed time for that marriage supper of the Lamb. And he has the Holy Spirit, his Spirit working to purify us and get us ready as a beautiful bride. This next Saturday, my niece, Jessica League, who's also now Helton, because on her first date of the wedding back in April, I married them when just a few of us were there, and now she's gone through her third cancellation because of the restrictions on gatherings, and we're having a small wedding gathering this next Saturday, but she's going to be in her wedding dress this time. And so her husband, because they've already been married, but he's going to see her in this wedding dress. And you know, everybody, you put money in on that wedding dress, you got to wear this thing sometime, okay? We didn't put all the dollars in on that dress just to sit in the closet, right? It's got to be worn. We got to get some pictures, get them framed. And so next Saturday, here at the church, he's going to see her in the wedding dress for the first time. And it's been a long wait. But that is the anticipation, folks. I love this. There's an anticipation that Jesus has for us. He adores us like that. This is seen in other scriptures, Deuteronomy 32, 9 in the Old Testament. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted inheritance. And another one in John 15, 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. He said, listen, I love you like the Father. You know the Father loves me. I'm a good son, an obedient son. Well, I love you with the same kind of love. I adore you. I'm ravished by you. You are my inheritance. That's what this, there's, that's glorious, folks. That's what glory looks like. There's this glory that we are being prepared for this marriage supper of the Lamb, this eternal marriage with Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 19. Of this passage, it reads, And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? Verse 20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So we find that there is, through this work of Christ, dying on the cross, being raised from the grave, there is this work that is so powerful that as verse 19 says, Paul is praying this, that we would know this immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Another phrase that we don't use very often. But we need to realize we walk every day with immeasurable greatness of his power. This immeasurable greatness of his power is available to us. I appreciated how Mike Bickle broke this down. Though he's ministry and he's a leader that prays big prayers. In fact, I was there in this 24/7, 365 prayer room in my sabbatical last fall. I'd been wanting to go to that ministry and be there for several days. And sure enough, they have different prayer in the main prayer room where they have worship going on 24/7. They have a place in the back that's designated for worship dancers who are interceding and praying as they dance. They had these rooms, a room for Israel, a room for the nations, and different rooms for specific prayer rooms. And they had a healing time in the back. And for they have healing rooms, and they would have times you could sign up and get prayed for. And I signed up for everything I could sign up for when I was there. And so I had a time slot for healing. And there's a couple things I was getting asking for prayer for healing. And that morning when I woke up, I particularly had this sore shoulder. It's in the joint, and I wake up with it, and sometimes it's worse than others. And it was a bad day for it, because it was not just the morning, it was during the day, and I was in line to go in this little prayer room for prayer. And so this is a ministry that expects God to heal and do miracles. And so I shared with, there were several people in the room, and we're seated in seats, and then they just kind of waited on the Lord. Then they prayed some prayers for me. And when I was in line waiting, I checked my, oh yeah, it's a bad day. It was particularly hurting that day. And so they prayed for me. And so the gentleman said, well, why don't you see, how you feel, right now? I said, well, check your arm, how's your shoulder feel? And I raised it up and said, oh, yeah, it still hurts. He goes, well, let's pray again. He walked over to me, he laid his hands on me, and he just prayed kind of the same prayer again. It wasn't anything long. It wasn't really detailed, just kind of prayed the same prayer again. He said, all right, now see how it is. Hey, I don't have any pain. Wow! God healed me right then. That's amazing. This is a ministry. This is a leader that believes in prayer. You want to be a person and people that believe in God, miracles is still alive and wants to do more miracles today? Yes, join with me. That was really, really weak there. Do you want to be a people that want to believe and pray for miracles? Huh? Yeah. All right, good, good, good. And so yet, in Mike Bickle's journey, he's saying, let's realize that there is an immeasurable greatness of his power every day in the little spaces of life. That in just short prayers, 10-second, 15, 20-second prayers during the day, you're waiting on the God, you're listening, and you'll get in a small enlightenment by a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and revelation. That these decisions to where, you're about to honk because you're mad and you're going to, yell at you. Okay, you might honk lightly instead and say, where you refrain from the flesh just taking over what you would, your sinful, old sinful nature would want to do, and you restrain yourself and you say, no, I want to be more like Jesus. That's the greatness of this immeasurable power working in you. Be thankful, folks. He's alive. He's working you all the time. It's early in the morning and you're going, oh gosh, do I really want to? I got this and what is my time schedule? And I don't think I have time for devotional this morning, and plus I just want to lay here. And you get out, roll out, and that's the immeasurable greatness of the power, because you rolled out of bed with sleepy eyes and got your Bible out and put toothpicks on your eyes. And that is the power of God working. And so he says that these little sparks of the power of God are real and they are necessary. In fact, they build on each other, so then things do get bigger. Your faith grows from different levels, and your confidence grows in the Lord. Out of Zechariah, there's a verse in chapter 4, verse 2. It's just a simple statement, and it's a principle of life. It says, for who has despised the day of small beginnings? The Lord doesn't despise the days of small beginnings, of small things, of little small starts and places of obedience. It's not small to the Lord. It's obedience. You're going in the right direction. And that means you started this low, and as you stay faithful over years, Mike Bickle's been leading prayer meetings for 41 years. And so when you stay faithful for 41 years, you really are at a different place. But it happens in little pieces, one at a time. what I'd like to do, ask the praise team to come back up. I want to just remind us of these three things. That Paul is emphasizing. But then I'm going to pray and just read over another prayer in Ephesians. It's actually chapter 3. But I don't want to break it down. I just want to let it soak in on you and bless you. So in a sense, have some prayer here at the end, okay? Is it okay to have a little prayer during a prayer series? Okay. Good. So, Father, we thank you that you're a Father of glory and that you desire in all of us to give us eyes that see, that are enlightened, that are spirit man or inner man, doesn't stay so hidden, so pushed down, so that we hardly ever aware of our spirit man. Lord, we're praying that our spiritual eyes are awakened and that not only that we see, but that we experience these three things. And Lord, I pray this for those here in the room, those spiritual family watching online, those friends and other families watching online. Lord, we pray for this for our own immediate family, our children, our spouses, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The Lord, that these three things will be getting into their life, oh God. Lord, number one, that we have a hope of what you have called us to. Both internal calling of being a faithful follower of Christ and the external calling of the assignments that you give us in the different phases of our life. Lord, we don't want to stay aimless and non-fruitful. We want to bear fruit in these spiritual, eternal areas of our hearts, seeking you, our heart following you and obeying you. Lord, that right out of our life and our countenance will come a witness to those who don't know you. Lord, you said to your disciples, you might be fishermen, but I'm going to make you fishermen of men. And Lord, make us as a faithful follower, fishers of men. Lord, help us be patient when we're not sure what our external calling is, what that assignment is right now. Help us be patient. Focus on these internal things, oh God. But Lord, as we step in obedience, may we bear great fruit wherever you place us in the assignment that you have for us. Lord, that may we experience that there is this confidence and this hope. I'm in God's will. His good, pleasing, and perfect. I'm pleasing you in what I'm doing in my heart and what I'm doing in my life. I'm building on the foundation, which is you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we also ask that we would know and experience the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints. That we would realize and experience that you do adore us, that you think of us as beautiful, that you are amazed at us. You're anticipating the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's this anticipation of your inheritance finally being totally realized. Oh God, you long for it. You long for us. You long for me. You long for my loved ones, my children. You long for them. Lord, help us experience this. Help us be wowed by this, by your wooing of us. That you're a devoted groom, loving and cherishing the beauty of your bride. There's a richness in this. There's a glory in it, Lord. Of this inheritance, Lord, may we experience this. over and over in little ways, Lord God. Bring us along in this. We are your portion. We are your inheritance. And you treasure us. You treasure me. You know, it's just, when I say that, it takes a little bit of courage to say it, doesn't it? It's just, it feels awkward to be loved like that. But I want you to whisper this to yourself, to repeat after me. You treasure me, Lord. You long for me, Lord. You love me. Endure me, Lord. Lord, help us experience the glory of that. There's a richness there that you want us to build our life on. Lord God, we thank you that you want us to experience the immeasurable greatness of his power. That it's great, it's immeasurable. We can pray big prayers, but Lord, may we recognize it in the little things, in the daily decisions of life. That yes, we were faithful in that prayer time. We were faithful in serving our family member there. We watched our tongue. We held back. We let you purify our tongue, and we didn't say anything, and instead we only spoke blessings. God, may we recognize this power, and Lord God, and yet release us in big prayers too. Lord, may we have big goals, we have high aspirations in ministry for you, but Lord, let us not despise small beginnings and small things. May we be willing to say yes to the small things. Oh, thank you, Lord. You see, this is building a house, though it's done by faith and in our hearts. We're building a house of prayer right now. We're putting these scriptural truths into our hearts and minds. And we're building with not wood, hay, and stubble, but we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Here's another prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to read it. It's kind of slowly, starting at verse 14. Feel free to just listen with your eyes closed, or if you'd like to look it up in your Bible or in your app. I have it on the screen as well. Ephesians 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." So, Lord God, we thank you that there is this strengthening little by little in our inner man. Lord, we pray over that over us right now, that this is part of your glory, part of your riches is strengthening. Strengthen us, Lord God. May we experience that and sense it. Today, tomorrow morning, may we sense a strengthening. May we do things to build that strengthening. Verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Lord, we want to be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted, Lord God, like a tree that doesn't matter how the hurricane winds come, Lord, that tree's not going anywhere. The roots are so strong. A grounding by this building with the right foundation, with you as a cornerstone, as a foundation, that building's not going to go away in the hurricane winds. Lord, we want that count of love, that love is in our foundation. It's in our structure of our being. Love is in our hearts, and we ask by faith that you would help us grow in love. Verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, of that love. Lord, right now, God, help us imagine, help our spiritual imagination, help our hearts expand, that your love expands, that your love is deep, that your love is wide. It's three, four-dimensional. It's four-dimensional, Lord. It's all-encompassing. Your love, it's that overwhelming. It covers everything. It's not just an arrow. It's a wave of the ocean of your love just covering us completely all around. It's four-dimensional love, Lord. It covers everything. Strengthen us in your love. Let us comprehend more of this depth of this love. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord God, we want your fullness, and we realize in this passage, love is a key to your fullness. That it surpasses knowledge. It's something we experience. It's something that we believe in and have faith in. Just another verse or two. Just hang in there. I say hang in there. Sometimes it's hard to be quiet. It's hard to be still. But Lord, help us comprehend the depth of your love. May it surpass. May our spirit grow hungrier during this time. Next verse, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So Lord, you are a God who does far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You want us to ask. You want us to imagine big prayers. But Lord, you do even more than that. Far abundantly more. And so, Lord, right now, we want to speak some big prayers. And one of our prayer warrior intercessors during the worship felt like God gave him a word that we have authority over spirit of infirmities. And so I'm just going to ask you, as you're waiting before the Lord, raise your hand if you feel like your body, your being is being attacked by a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness. Then I want us to pray together. Lord Jesus, right now here and at home, I hope you're sticking with us in prayer and you didn't click out there, but stayed with us in prayer. Father, we're in prayer together. And you said to the God who does beyond what we can ask or think of, far abundantly more, this God, this big God of miracles, we pray against the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus, attacking your people and those in our family and friends, even those who are not believers, Lord God, but we have them in our heart right now. We pray for them. Lord God, be healed in Jesus' name. Spirit of infirmity, be broken by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. He is our great physician, and he drives out this spirit of infirmity, that you would be healed, released in full restoration of your body, full recovery. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And that you would get all the glory. You don't have to raise your hand on this, but if you just feel overwhelmed, it's not overwhelmed by the love of God drenching, but overwhelmed by stress and circumstances, and it's the anxiety and the worry is overwhelming you, you can raise your hand. You don't have to, but I want to pray for you too. Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, your word says that your perfect love casts out fear. And so, Lord, we pray according to this Ephesians chapter 3. Lord God, that you would strengthen as you help each one of us comprehend breadth and length and the height and depth of your love. That your love pushes out that fear. It surpasses knowledge. It doesn't make sense. It's not a formula of 1 + 1 = 2. It's bigger than that. Lord, you overwhelm this person, that person at home, online. Overwhelm them with your love right now. Look, your love is great, Lord. Who can be against us? If God is in us, who can be against us? The Lord is called the victorious one. We are called with him to be more than conquerors, Lord God. And this comes from this immeasurable love, this depth of your love overwhelming us. I want to pray for you if you really aren't sure if you're a believer or not, if you would go to heaven or not. If you died today or next week or next month or this year, you don't know if you would go to heaven. I want to pray for you. Lord God, I pray that your kindness leads them to repentance. And that they would start imagining this greatness of your love, that the work that you paid on the cross for them was more than enough to break the bondage of evil and sin and deception over them. And Lord God, your resurrection power is enough. So if you want to give your heart to Christ right now, if you don't want to be 50-50 in strong one day, weak the next in your commitment, but you want to be fully dedicated to the Lord and turn it all over to him, I'll pray for you. Pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I turn everything over to you. Come into my heart. I don't want to be a 50% Christian. I want to be 100% Christian. Lord Jesus, I turn away from my selfishness and pride and sin, and I turn towards you. I turn towards you. I run to you. I run to you. I run away from that darkness. I run away from those lies. I run away from my weakness trying to do it on my own. I run to you. I run to you and I give you my all. And I say, yes, I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you rose from the grave for me. And your resurrection power, I need it. I want it. Fill me with your spirit. You're a child of God today, and you're building on the foundation. Now you have a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can build on it with eternal materials that will last forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and lead us in worship, and after a few moments, I'm going to say a blessing of over you as you go into the week. It is special. Thanksgiving week, go ahead, Julia. Just lead us as we're still waiting on the Lord.
I stand.